This podcast is brought to you by the Village of Bedford Park, your home for business. Over 450 businesses strong and growing with a safe, reliable Lake Michigan water supply. Visit VOBPbiz.com and bring your business home to the Village of Bedford Park.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
WBBM News Time, 12:03. It's great to have you with us for the Tuesday edition of the Noon Business Hour. I'm Cisco Cotto. The Noon Business Hour is presented by Republic Bank of Chicago. Travel Tuesday. Some things you need to know if you want to take an African safari. And Pizza Hut expanding. It's now offering Detroit-style pizza. Right now, the housing market is hot. We'll tell you just how hot it is. Steve Kirch is here, real estate editor at MarketWatch here in Chicago. Steve, good to have you back with us. So I guess the first question is just how good is the housing market?
Good afternoon, Cisco. Well, it's on fire in some parts of the country. The Case-Shiller Index, which is our main gauge of housing prices across the country, showed prices rising an annual increase 9.5% in November. That's the latest data they have, led by hot spots, Phoenix, Seattle, and San Diego, as the Southwest and the West regions continue to lead the country. Chicago, here's the interesting thing. Chicago, which was up 7.5% year over year, you'd think that's a really great number, and nobody who owns a home is going to complain if their prices are rising that much. But that is actually the second worst out of the 20 cities that Case-Shiller surveyed. So, it's all kind of relative right now.
So what's behind the increase? Well, I mean, because that's a significant jump.
These are significant jumps, and basically it's a simple economic equation of supply and demand across the country. There are very few homes on the market relative to what we are normally seeing, so it's a basic inventory question. In the state of Illinois right now, for instance, there's only a 1.6-month supply of homes for sale at the current sales pace. Now, that's as opposed to what a normal housing market would look like with about 5 or 6 months of inventory. And that's also down from about 3 months supply from a year ago. So you can see as these prices have risen, we've been having more sales, taking inventory off the market, and not much is coming back on, and that just continues to push the prices higher.
So even the higher prices are not getting some people off the fence. You're really showing you have some people who want to sell and a lot of people who just don't want to sell no matter what.
That's the other component of this. We've seen a lot of this pickup start back in June. So in the early months of the pandemic shutdowns, people were not thinking of moving in. The housing market wasn't going very well. But then folks started to decide if they were going to make a move, either because they needed the space or they knew they were going to be working from home for an extended period of time and wanted to change. They were more willing to do it. But the folks who aren't willing to do it are not putting their homes on the market really at any price right now. It's just not worth the risk to them.
So when it comes to understanding the market and those prices, this is where I'm not doing a pitch for realtors here or anything, but that's where they really do have an ability to see what's going on in the market. And it leads to these higher prices because they say, hey, based on what I'm seeing right now, I think you can get more for this property.
Well, that's right. I mean, we've usually counsel you get some sort of professional representation to help you set the price if you're a home seller and you want to get into this market, even if it looks like it's a seller's market and you can get whatever you want. The numbers that we're seeing are based on, prices that are set objectively and realistically, and that's why people are snapping them up so fast. Properties that are overpriced are going to linger longer on the market, but that's a risk some people may want to take too. You may think, well, at least the trend for the next 3 months is forecast prices will keep rising. Maybe I'll just hold out and get a higher price anyway.
Thanks so much, Steve Kirch. He is real estate editor at MarketWatch here in Chicago. Prices just keep rising in the housing market. Coming up, a soft drink giant and a maker of alternative meat products are joining forces. Beyond Meat and PepsiCo will work together to sell plant-based snacks and drinks. Arun Sundaram, equity analyst at CFRA in Rockville, Maryland, is joining us. Arun, it's good to have you here. So kind of give us an idea of this. It sounds like a pretty unique partnership.
Yeah, of course. So Beyond Meat and Pepsi announced today that they're going to form a joint venture to develop, produce, and market snacks and plant-based beverage products made from plant-based protein. So we think that this partnership could create long-term opportunities for Beyond Meat, but the emphasis is really on the long-term because I think there's going to be a significant amount of innovation and R&D put in to develop these products before we see a meaningful return. You have to keep in mind that Beyond's expertise is producing plant-based protein that you find at the center of the plate, whether it's breakfast, lunch, or dinner. And now they're expanding into snacking. And although the snacking category is very fast growing, not just here in the U.S., but also internationally, there's going to be some challenges, I think, developing these new innovative products. But on the positive side, you know, they are expanding into new eating occasions. Predominantly, they were just focusing on meals. Now they're going into snacks. And their products can now potentially enter new sales channels like convenience stores, vending machines, you know, theaters, stuff like that. So in the end, I think the partnership is definitely positive for Beyond Meat, but to warrant the share price jumping between 20 to 30% is still something that we're looking at right now and evaluating.
Yeah, is the benefit here, and maybe what Wall Street is thinking, is to get that PepsiCo connection. I mean, they already have the pipeline. They already have the expertise in it, and that may smooth the way for this to become a reality. Is that what they like about it?
Yeah, exactly. So PepsiCo, you know, they have the scale. They have the global reach. And Beyond Meat, one focus area right now is expanding internationally. And PepsiCo, in 2019, 42% of PepsiCo sales were international. So I think this definitely helps Beyond Meat accelerate its international growth, especially in key markets like China, where both meat consumption and snacking is rapidly growing. But that said, again, we don't expect this partnership to meaningfully contribute to profits in 2021 for Beyond Meat. And over, you know, at least these next 12 months, we think that, you know, the COVID-19 pandemic could inflict longer-term damage to Beyond Meat because many smaller independent restaurants have closed in the past 6 to 8 months, or many of them are downsizing their menus to cut costs. And, you know, if a restaurant is downsizing their menu, you know, one of the first areas that might go is these new plant-based products.
And I'm trying to think, and maybe they haven't even released this yet because it's early. You know, you mentioned that when you think Beyond Meat, you think the alternative protein at the center of meals. I mean, are these going to be alternative protein snacks, sort of, I hate to say fake meat, but sort of that meat alternative snack? I'm just not sure how big of a market there is for that, but maybe I'm missing something.
That's exactly the question I had when I first saw this release. At first, you know, you read that Beyond Meat and PepsiCo are partnering, and at first I thought that was a little bizarre. And then I really tried to dig in and see what is the addressable market. And so one thing that I'm more certain on, snacking in general, the global packaged snack category, not snacks with meat, just snacking in general, is about $700 billion globally, and it's growing 3 to 4% annually. So that's a humongous market, but packaged snacks with meat in it, you know, obviously is much, much smaller. I don't have the exact numbers there, which is why, you know, we don't know whether, you know, this jump in share price today is warranted, because that addressable market, I think, is much, much smaller.
Yeah, like alternative beef jerky and that kind of stuff. I mean, there's only so much of it. Let's talk about the stock here. So you mentioned it's up. Right now it's about 17.5%. Any recommendation on the stock?
Yep. So yeah, we have a sell opinion on the shares, and you know, our belief is that, you know, Beyond's current valuation right now doesn't allow much room for error. You know, Beyond Meat historically, their sales were 50% split between the retail segment, which is like grocery stores, and then the other 50% was within food service. And, you know, over the past few quarters, because of the impact that COVID-19 has on the food service channel, their sales have taken a drastic turn. So now food service is only about a quarter of their sales. And I think it's going to take a while for that segment to recover, mainly because two-thirds of Beyond Meat's food service sales are to these smaller independent restaurants. The other one-third of their food service sales are to these, you know, larger fast food restaurants, quick service restaurants, where, you know, there's been, you know, that's been holding up a little bit stronger during this pandemic. But the vast majority of their food service sales are to these smaller independent restaurants, which I think are struggling right now. And additionally, we think Q4, which they'll report Q4 in a few weeks, has potential to surprise investors to the downside, because, you know, they won't, Beyond Meat, I don't think, will experience the same consumer panic buying that they experienced early in 2020. That kind of helped their stock as well as their sales targets early in 2020 because of all the consumer panic buying. But that phenomenon has kind of tapered out. At the same time, food service isn't recovering. And then especially with, you know, the recent colder weather and surge in COVID-19 cases, I think Q4 has potential to surprise investors to the downside.
Thanks so much for all the analysis, Arun Sundaram, equity analyst at CFRA. Up next, making sure you're getting the credit card limit you need.
Cashing in with conversation. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Simply applying for a credit card does not ensure you'll get the credit limit you might need. Let's get some help. Joining us on the ComEd Energy Efficiency Business Line, Ted Rossman, industry analyst at creditcards.com. Ted, give us some advice here, because I think a lot of people often feel stuck, like whatever credit limit they give you is what you're going to get, and there's really no way around it.
It's one of these very cyclical things. Right now, we're in a risk-off environment. We're definitely seeing issuers tightening credit limits and also approval standards across the board. But when things rebound, and hopefully that's coming sooner rather than later, then it becomes much easier to get a higher credit limit.
So how would they go about doing that? Is that simply a matter of talking to the credit card company, or what do they do?
It's often something that you can initiate yourself. And in fact, even in 2020, we found that 70% of people who asked for a higher credit limit got one. In years past, that has been more like 85%. But still, even in 2020, a lot of people succeeded. I think it's often best to do it over the phone and direct it yourself, although sometimes it is possible to submit these requests in writing online, either on the website or on the app or via some kind of live chat functionality. Sometimes issuers will raise limits proactively. We're not seeing that quite as much in the current climate, but especially when things rebound, you know, sometimes they ask you periodically for your income. That alone might be reason for an increase if they like what they see.
Now, do you, if you're calling them on the phone to talk about this, do you have a particular figure in mind that you'd like it to be increased to? Or are you just saying, can you raise it? And they let you know yes or no and how much?
It could be both. I think it's often good to come armed with a goal. And in fact, sometimes they'll even flat out ask you. I tried this with some of my credit card issuers in 2019, and I was 3 for 3 getting increases. I actually decided I was going to go for double in all three cases just to keep my experiment equal. And it worked all three times. One of them doubled it. The others gave me a bit less, but still the average increase was 75%. Then last year I tried again and I was rejected across the board. So it just goes to show how things have changed. It helps if you're a good customer. So you've been with them a while, you pay on time, you use the card. That might actually be the most important thing, because if they see that you use the card a lot, they might be willing to up your limit because there's more revenue in terms of interchange and other fees.
Thanks so much, Ted Rossman, industry analyst at creditcards.com. Still ahead, Travel Tuesday, dreaming of an African safari on a snowy winter day. We'll tell you what you need to know.
This is Chicago's all-news station, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Good afternoon. Thanks for joining us. I'm Cisco Cotto. These are the top stories on News Radio WBBM. Snowfall is tapering off, but a windy afternoon is going to cause blowing and drifting snow. President Biden sets ambitious goals for coronavirus vaccinations. It's Travel Tuesday, planning an exotic trip to see wildlife on the African continent. And Pizza Hut makes a move into a Detroit-style pizza. WBBM Business business. The Dow up 21, NASDAQ is up 23, and the S&P is up just 1 point. We have a little light snow, especially north of the city. Everyone else just dealing with clouds. Right now, it's 31 degrees. The snow winding down. Still could be some additional accumulation, though, beyond the 3 to 6 inches that have already been seen in most areas. Jackie Salick of Elmhurst having a good time shoveling.
It is a little exercise, you're right. And it's beautiful. I mean, it's gorgeous, so you got to enjoy it.
Winter weather advisories remain in effect until 5 o'clock this afternoon. The White House is working to rev up a vaccine rollout. It started slowly during the Trump administration.
The president saying within months, any American who wants a vaccine should have access.
But it's going to be a logistical challenge that exceeds anything we've ever tried.
The Biden administration is blaming President Trump's team for the lag, but believes the nation could be injecting 1.5 million shots a day.
We can reach it. He set an original goal of 100 million doses in the first 100 days. And as I've said and others have said, that's a floor, not a ceiling.
Naomi Ruckham, CBS News.
Again, right now we have some flurries falling in some areas of Chicagoland, some light snow as well. It'll be out of here later this afternoon, though. Right now, 31 degrees at O'Hare, 30 degrees along the lakefront at 1232.
It's 60 Minutes of Financial Planning. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Janet Yellen has been confirmed as Treasury Secretary in an overwhelming Senate vote. She's the first woman to hold the job in the 232-year history of the department. Yellen is a former chair of the Federal Reserve, expected to play a key role in gaining congressional approval of President Biden's nearly $2 trillion coronavirus relief package. The plan is running into stiff opposition from Republicans who believe the price tag is far too high. The Noon Business Hour presented by Republic Bank of Chicago. Carnival Cruise Line is canceling and delaying more U.S. trips. Carnival's planned seasonal service out of San Diego has been suspended until further notice, and cruises scheduled through April of 2023 are canceled. The company says some trips from California to Hawaii will continue, but they will sail from Long Beach instead. California's Governor Gavin Newsom and the state's top two legislative leaders have pledged to pay off 80% of most people's unpaid rent that is piled up during the pandemic, but only if landlords agree to forgive the other 20%. The proposal has to be approved by the legislature. It could wipe out potentially billions of dollars in debt hanging over renters in the nation's most populous state by using federal relief money to compel landlords to forgive some of the debt. It would extend a law scheduled to expire next Monday that bans landlords from evicting people as long as they pay at least 25% of their rent. Google says it's making progress on a plan to revamp Chrome user tracking technology aimed at improving privacy. The company gave an update on work to remove so-called third-party cookies from its browser. They are used by website developers and advertisers and also their partners. They can be used to track user browser habits all across the internet. Southwest Airlines says starting March 1st, it will no longer allow emotional support animals to move about the cabin freely on flights. The rule does not affect service dogs. The airline says customers who want to bring a dog or cat on board as a pet will have to pay a fee. The animal will have to be kept in a carrier that fits under an airplane seat. Not much movement on Wall Street today. Things kind of flat all around. Let's see what's going on. Gary Kaltbaum is here, president of Kaltbaum Capital Management. Gary, thanks for joining us. I guess sluggish is a way to describe this today. What's going on?
Well, let me just be clear. Sluggish and flat is good. In order to go higher, you need some relaxation, some pullback, some settling down. Certain things have been getting out of hand. Some of these short squeezes remind me of 99, which is not good news, especially when it ends. So let's hope it cools down a little bit. I would have absolutely no problem with that as we enter the meat of earnings season.
Yeah, these short squeezes, we've seen this with BlackBerry, GameStop, other stocks. It almost seems like a game that is being played to try to get some profits with stocks to where you otherwise wouldn't be able to get a profit.
Well, it's not necessarily a game. It has to do with the fact that you're in a very speculative and frothy environment because of central banks, you know, the trillions of dollars. And there's some recognition that some of these stocks, there are more shorts than the float. And if they can get them moving, they get them moving. Even Dillard's department stores is on a short squeeze right now. So where they stop, we don't know. But we do know one thing from history. It always ends badly, and eventually valuations will matter. And when it ends and the music stops, do not be the last one in. That's my greatest advice. I do not know where they finish up to the upside, though.
Yeah, you'll absolutely get burned for sure, as we've seen so many other times. Thank you for joining us, Gary Kaltbaum, president of Kaltbaum Capital Management. You can find him online at GaryK.com. Just ahead, Travel Tuesday, looking at a return to vacationing, maybe a journey to Africa.
Lunch money for all generations. This is the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
It's Travel Tuesday on this cold winter day. We're bringing the heat. We're learning about safaris to Africa. Joining us on the ComEd Energy Efficiency Business Line, Angie Rice, co-founder of Boutique Travel Advisors, the website travelbta.com. Angie, I guess when people are all kind of cooped up here in the U.S., it's a natural time for them to start thinking about a safari, right? People just want to get out of here.
I totally agree.
So what's the first thing that they need to know if they're thinking about this? Especially, a lot of people have been dreaming about it for a long time. What do they need to know to get ready?
Absolutely. I mean, I think it's important to understand who's traveling and which country is best suited for your travel styles, your travel needs, as well as your budget. Because a safari is an expensive bucket list type trip. And there's certainly some countries that are more price affordable than others. I would say South Africa is certainly more affordable than a safari to Rwanda, for example.
Yeah, the exchange rate is really, really good to South Africa. A lot of people obviously thinking about COVID, and should they be planning for a year or two out right now as opposed to in the short term?
There's really a great opportunity to plan for the short term as well as long term. Typically, our clients will book 9 months, if not a year or two in advance, because they're really trying to determine who's traveling. And a lot of families or groups of couples travel together, and they see the benefits of renting out an entire lodge. So if that's something you want to do, you want to plan well in advance. But right now, we're seeing great offers on spring travel to various countries in Africa, including Tanzania, South Africa, and Kenya. And those are places, most of these safari lodges are not typically offering 4 nights, 5 nights for the price of 3 or 4. So it's a great opportunity to take advantage of some pricing deals.
Give us an idea of, okay, you have the safari, and that's wonderful. Should people be thinking in terms of, hey, if we go to this country, we can get the safari, and we can get a lot of other things too while we're there?
Absolutely. For example, travelers that really want to explore Cape Town will choose a safari in South Africa. If someone's wanting to hike Kilimanjaro, for example, they're most likely going to choose a safari in Tanzania. And what's so beautiful about safaris just naturally is that you're outdoors, and most people travel via very small groups or privately. So it naturally allows for social distancing.
Now, we know there are everywhere, there are times of the year that are sort of peak with a lot of people going there. What's a good time to plan an African safari, both because maybe you're not going to have a lot of people there, but also because of the weather?
Right. You do have to watch out for the weather in the fall. You do hit rainier seasons in the fall. And we work with some great suppliers in Africa that really help us determine which lodges and what time of year are you going to be able to see the most animal life, as well as avoid, you know, poor weather conditions. And everyone has like their own idea of weather conditions. Some like the rainy season, to be honest with you. And others, of course, are looking for the drier season. So high season, peak season is always going to be around the Christmas holiday. And that, quite frankly, tends to be related to the amount of time that's required for a safari. You're going to want to take a minimum of 7 to 8 days. And families have a hard time getting their schedules organized where they can all meet together at the same time. So that's why you've got the natural peak season around the Christmas season. And then again, spring is a great time to travel. It does start to get you will see rates increase in the summer, but we are seeing better rates for this year. So if you want to jump on better rates for peak season, summer 2021 is a good option. And then countries like Uganda, Rwanda, they really don't have the seasonality and pricing. I mean, it's just those countries are more expensive year round.
Thanks so much. Good advice. Angie Rice, co-founder of Boutique Travel Advisors. Join us at this time tomorrow for Personal Finance Wednesday. Still to come today, a national pizza chain takes on a Motown twist.
This is the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
Pizza Hut is launching a new Detroit-style pizza. Let's learn more. RJ Hottaby is here, analyst with Aaron Allen Capital Partners here in Chicago. RJ, give us a heads up. What is Pizza Hut doing?
Yeah, you got it exactly right. Pizza Hut is launching a four varieties of Detroit-style pizza. It's a little bit like a Chicago deep dish, but a little bit thicker crust, a little bit sweeter crust to it, and really trying to set themselves apart from the rest of a very competitive pizza space. Obviously, like a lot of us, we've been eating a lot of pizza in 2020. I think there's a little bit of fatigue right now, and I think that the restaurant, the pizza companies are looking for ways to stand out, and I think this might be a smart move.
Is this an attempt at all to compete with Jets? Is it wider than that? I mean, what do you think's behind it, other than the fatigue you mentioned?
Yeah, I think that's part of it. And I think that they're aware that, you know, competition is out there. It's been, you know, one of the styles that's been growing most. But I think that what they're doing here is just, playing off the curiosity that consumers might have. The pizza category is a little bit like barbecue, where there's different regional styles across the country and obviously across the globe as well. And tapping into consumers' curiosity about that, I think, could be an interesting way to drive interest in the brand and drive sales subsequently, too. So I think that's a smart move, and maybe they'll try some other variations down the road. Obviously for the players that are already existing, like Jets, that do specialize in style, I mean, this is a competitive threat. But I think people will have some loyalty to those brands as well.
And when it comes to a place like Pizza Hut, I've noticed this with Domino's a little bit too, maybe all of the major chains, they went from just their signature pizza, and you either liked this one or like that one, to having so many different varieties. I mean, it's almost overwhelming. You can get almost whatever you want at each of these pizza places.
Yeah, you have seen that. There is a lot of variety. But one of the things that have made restaurant companies successful in this, during the time of pandemic, is that they have simplified the menus. I think each of the restaurant chains, each of the pizza chains, generally speaking, have pared back the overall menu. Now, there's certainly room for variations and limited time offers and things like the Detroit-style pizza. So I think there is room to kind of keep interest that you may have gained during the pandemic and keep consumers coming back. But at the same time, too, I think that menus is one of the things that have made a lot of restaurant chains, not just pizza, successful, and really made it easier to get more orders out the door.
Is it challenging when you come up with something new like this to bring new dollars in, new customers, or more from your existing customers, instead of just having your regular customers buy this instead of what they usually would?
It's a bit of both. You obviously want to hang on to as many customers as you can and increase wallet share with them. But I think a product like this is really playing into potentially bringing a new audience. Maybe a customer that was loyal to Jets and really wants to try something new, or hey, let's dumb our Pizza Hut spent on Detroit style pizza. I think that's kind of what they're targeting here is, hey, we've got a lot of momentum from our current customers. Maybe we can try this product with them, but potentially reach out and get more customers too. So I think it's a little bit of both, but probably a little bit more towards the new customer segment that they're looking to get here.
Thanks so much, RJ Hottaby, analyst with Aaron Allen Capital Partners here in Chicago.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.